We saw yesterday the Mishnah, which had two parts to it. Rav Nachman.
Yeah, can I ask a quick shout before we start? So I was having trouble understanding the difference between Kriyat Shema and Tefillah when it comes to Mitzvah Sashesh Zman Grama regarding women and how the Mishnah is separating them.
Right, they're exempt from Kriyat Shema, but they're chayav in Tefillah.
But both are connected to a time frame.
Yep, so that's the Gemara's kasha. So let's have a look. The Gemara's going to discuss this right now. So we saw yesterday, good point, we're going to see this right now. The Gemara saw, the Mishnah differentiated between Kriya Shema and Tefillin on the one hand, and Tefillah, Mezuzah, and Birkas Hamazon on the other. That's what we saw yesterday. Now, we did see a very big discussion yesterday, if you remember, with regard to Kriya Shema, Ketanim, what exactly are we talking about, Higiyah Lechinuch or not Higiyah Lechinuch? That was a whole discussion that we were involved with yesterday. Either way, we're going to now move into the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Kriya Shema Pshita. Isn't it Poshut? Krishma Pshita Mitzasasesha Zman Grama Hu. It's a Mitzasesha Zman Grama. The general rule is that women are potter. So, what exactly is the Chiddush of the Mishnah? It's obvious that they are exempt. Pshita Mitzasesha Zman Grama Hu. V'chol Mitzasasesha Zman Grama Noshim Paturais. Women are exempt. Says the Gemara, no. Mahu de tema, because I might have said that here is an exception. Hoyil the isbo malchus shamayim, kamash malon. I would have thought that this is an exception to the rule. Yes, the general rule is that mitzvah seishas man groma, women are exempt. But maybe this mitzvah is an exception because it contains in it the concept of malchus shamayim. As we discussed earlier on, that when you're saying Shema, the idea is that you've been makabel on ourselves, Malchus Shemaim. So I would have thought that's so significant that this mitzvah is not subject to the exemption. And maybe women should be chayev. Says the Mishnah, Kamash Malon. That's why I need to be taught that in fact, they are exempt. I would have thought that they're chayev. Why would I have thought they're chayev? Even though it's a mitzvah seishas man groma, but I would have thought that Malchus Shomayim is so significant that it must apply to everybody, even to Noshim. And that's why the Mishnah has come to Mechadash to me that no, women are actually still exempt because it's a Zman Groma. That's the first line. Then we get to the case of Umin HaTfilin. This was the second case. Says the Gemara, obviously, once again, Pshita. Same kasha. Tefillin is also a mitzvah saseja zman groma, as Rashi explained. We only put tefillin on during the day. We only put tefillin on in weekday, not on Shabbos. And if that's the case, it's obviously zman groma. So once again, the question needs to be asked, so what exactly is the chiddush of the Mishnah? Why do we need to be taught that women are exempt from tefillin? L'chayra, it's poshut. Says the Gemara, it's not so poshut. Mahu de tema, because I might have thought, hoyel ve'iskish l'mezuzah, because there is a hekesh, there is a comparison between tefillin and mezuzah, as we're going to see in a moment in Rashi. And mezuzah, women are chayev, as the Mishnah tells us in the Sefer. So I would have thought that if mezuzah, women are chayev, then probably they're chayev also in tefillin because there is a hekesh comparing the two. And if they're obligated in one, they should be obligated in the other. Says the Gemara, komash malon, That was the chiddush of the Mishnah, that actually, even though it's true, there is a hekesh, but nonetheless, they are still exempt from tefillin. Let's see Rashi. Mahu de tema, it's the first Rashi on the Gemara, on the second narrow line. Mahu de tema, nakish tefillin lemezuzah. There is a comparison. Let us compare tefillin to mezuzah. Why? Diksiv, because it is written, ukashartem, ukasavtem, as we said this morning in Shema. Ukasharatem is tying the tefillin, ukasavtem is writing the mezuzah. So we have a comparison between tying tefillin and writing the mezuzah. Therefore, I would have been excused for thinking, ma mezuzah noshim chayovois koma. Just like mezuzah, women are chayiv, as the Mishnah teaches us, because that's clearly a mitzvah saseh, which is not zman groma. So I would have thought that af tefillin noshim chayovois. So I would have thought by virtue of the hekesh, if tefillin is being compared to mezuzah, then just as mezuzah, women are chayiv, so I would have thought that so too, they're chayiv also in tefillin. But they are nonetheless exempt. So far, the Gemara has not taught us as yet any chidushim lahalocha. Rather, the Gemara has just explained to us in each case, what's the chidush? Why do I need to be taught that they are exempt from kriyashma? Because I would have thought they're chayev because of malchus shamayim. Why do I need to be taught that they are exempt from tefillin? Because I would have thought they're chayev because it's comparable to mezuzah. So the bottom line is no and no. Yes, you would have had a havamina, but that's wrong and that's wrong. Lemaisa, in both cases, women are exempt from Kriyat Shema and Tefillin. By the way, it should be pointed out, even when we have a rule of mitzvah saseh azman groma, for example, shofar, or lulav, or sukkah. But as we well know, the minhag is that women do perform these mitzvahs. They're not obligated. A woman who says she does not want to hear shofar, no problem at all. A woman who says she doesn't want to sit in the sukkah or shake a lulav, absolutely fine. She needs to know, that's not the minhag. But lahalocha, she's 100% fine. And not only that, if you're a ben Ashkenaz, they can even make a bracha on it, which is a tremendous chiddush. As we know, Ashkenazi women can shake a lulav and they say a bracha. And they can actually say, Asher kiddushonu b'mitzvayisov v'tzivonu, which is a terrific chiddush. How on earth can they say v'tzivonu, we have been commanded, when they have not been commanded? That's a whole discussion for another day. So the question is, just an interesting question to point out, if basically the general minhag, it's not a halacha, it's not a chiyav, it's a minhag, but it is the minhag. So if the minhag is that women do shake lulav, and they do hear the shofar, and they do sit in the sukkah, so why don't they put on tefillin? So everybody will tell me, the daughters of Rashi put on tefillin. That may be, but why do women generally not put on tefillin? They do lulav, they do shofar, they do sukkah. So it may be, just as a suggestion, I don't know, I haven't had a chance to look this up. We know that women are exempt from the mitzvahs asei shehazman groma. Now, why should that be? Why is it that women are exempt from time gamed mitzvahs? So essentially, you might say, that's an unfair question. What do you mean, why? We learn it from sukkah, and that's it, which is a perfectly valid answer. It's true. The Gemara in Kiddushin, we learn from Psukim that the rule of thumb is that women are exempt. So we don't ask why, because that's what the Torah writes. But Lemaisa, some Rishonim do suggest a reason, and a very fascinating reason at that. And they say that a woman, a married woman, who is married to a husband and therefore should be obligated to serve him. Now, she doesn't have to be serving him 24/7, but she has to be available 24/7. Therefore, some of the Rishonim suggest that's why they cannot be obligated in a time-governed mitzvah. Because it could well be that at exactly that time, when they're supposed to be performing the mitzvah, at exactly that time, their services are needed by the husband. And for that reason, the Torah exempted the woman from the mitzvah. Because it cannot be that they will be involved in a time-governed mitzvah. They cannot have time-governed anything. Because they have to be meshubad to their husbands. So I'm just guessing, this is mamish a guess, I might be wrong. When it comes to lulav or shofar or sukkah, which is only once a year, that's one thing. But if you're talking about the mitzvah of filling, which is every single day, then maybe that minhag was never accepted on noshim. Because if women are going to start putting on tefillin every single day, then you really are going to clash with that reason of being on call for the husband, essentially even once a year. Even lulav, they're exempt. Fine, maybe once a year we can make an exception. But if it's on a daily basis that they're going to be involved in putting on tefillin such that they will not be on call for their husbands, maybe that's why the minhag was not accepted. Either way, we do need to know that is the minhag. Women do not put on tefillin. With regard to Kriya Shema, that's a different subject. Now we move on to the third case. So we've discussed two exceptions. The Mishnah has two exemptions and now three obligations. So what was the first one? Reb Nachum, this is your question, tefillah. Women are obligated in the mitzvah of tefillah. Says the Gemara, v'chayovin b'tefillah, d'rachami ninhu. Tefillah is the concept of rachamim, compassion. We all need rachamim min hashumayim. Ma'u d'teima, you might have thought that hoyel v'kosa bo, because it is written with regard to tefillah, it's a pasuk in Tehillim. Erev u'boiker v'tzaharayim. The Novi in Sefer Tehillim, David HaMelech, when referring to tefillah, he does split it up into three times of day. Erev, Avoyker, v'tzaharayim, which is, of course, Shachris, Mincha, and Maariv. If that's the case, I would have thought that k'mitzvos aseh shehazman groma domi. So I would have thought that's basically comparable to azman groma. There are certain times. Komashmalon, that no, they are nonetheless chayev. Now look at Rashi. Rashi, it's the end of the Rashi we just learned. Hochi garsinon. Now, as we know, whenever Rashi says hochi garsinon, this is the correct text, he's clearly coming as opposed to an alternative text. That's why Rashi is making a standpoint that no, this is the correct text. Hochi garsinon tfilo derachami ninhu. Three words. And that's the way we have it in our Gemara. Says Rashi, v'loy goras pshita, quote unquote. But the girsa should not be pshita, which is a question. Why not? Daholav doiraisa he. Now, what's the text that Rashi is coming to oppose, coming la'afuke? Clearly there was another text, and we're going to see in a moment, Tosfos wants to resurrect this text. Clearly there was another text in which the Gemara once again asked, pshita, pshita that what? The opposite of the first two pshitas. The first two pshitas, the Gemara was saying, it's obvious that they're exempt. Kriya Shema and Tefillin. According to this other Girsa, here we're asking the same question, just in the opposite direction. Pshita, it's obviously that they're obligated. Isn't it the most obvious thing in the world that Noshim are chayev b'tefillah? Because it's a mitzvah saseh, she'ein hazman groma. Now, why is tefillah ein hazman groma? And the answer is because tefillah is essentially something that you need and you should be involved with the whole time. It's rachamim. And that's the Gemara's kasha. So again, according to this Gerasa, which Rashi does not like for reasons we'll point out in a moment, according to this other Gerasa, the Gemara was actually not just explaining, but actually answering. There was a kasha. Pshita, isn't it obvious that women are chayiv b'tfilah? Because it's not zman grama. To which the answer was, therefore, you might have thought that it is considered zman groma because the Torah writes, the Pasuk writes in Tehillim, Erev Avoyke V'Tzoharoyim. Now that seems to be a perfectly legitimate question and a perfectly legitimate answer. So why does Rashi not like this text? And the answer is, says Rashi, because tefillah is not do'iraisa. And here we arrive at a colossal yesoid. It is a machlokes rishonim, actually. There's a Rambam, and there's a Ramban, but it's a huge discussion. As important and central that tefillah is in our avodas Hashem, but it's not at all clear that it's a mitzvah do'iraisa. The Rambam famously holds that it's not do'iraisa under ordinary circumstances. And it would seem to me that's what Rashi's saying over here as well. Rashi says that tefillah is not do'iraisa. And if tefillah is not do'iraisa, therefore, says Rashi, I cannot accept the text which says, pshita, it's a mitzvah saseh she'ein hazman groma. That can't be the question because it's not a mitzvah saseh at all. It's simply not a mitzvah saseh. So how can you say, how can the Gemara possibly be asking that it's obvious they are chayev because it's a mitzvah saseh she'ein hazman groma? It's not a mitzvah saseh at all. It is not a mitzvah saseh. And if it's not a mitzvah saseh, then you cannot apply the rule of zman groma. In other words, we need to be asking over here a very important question. Does the rule of zman groma, does that apply also to mitzvahs derabbanan or only to mitzvahs d'oraisa? This is the question. The principle, at least the name of the principle, is mitzvahs asei shazman groma, or mitzvahs asei she'ein hazman groma. So, simply translated, it sounds like it is a rule that applies to mitzvahs asei. And mitzvahs asei clearly means mitzvahs min ha-Torah. So what, therefore, is the halacha of a mitzvah derabbanon, which is zman groma? Does the same rule apply? So it would sound like from Rashi over here that that rule does not apply. And that's what Rashi's problem is. And that's why Rashi is saying you cannot ask it as a question. You cannot say it's obvious that they're chayev because it's a mitzvah saseh she'ein hazman groma. I'm sorry, says Rashi, it's not a mitzvah saseh at all. It's only a drabonon. So who says it's automatically, who says it's obvious that they should be obligated or exempt? Who says, who tells you that this is dependent on the rule of zman groma or not? And therefore, Rashi rejects his girasa, and according to Rashi, we are not asking a question and giving an answer. Rather, we are just explaining the Mishnah. It says in the Mishnah that women are chayev. The Gemara just explains the reason for this is tefillah is rachamim. Even though you might have thought it's zman groma because of erev avoyke v'tzoharoyim, it's not, and therefore women are chayev. Now let's immediately look at the top Tosfos, because Tosfos reintroduces and he supports the girsa that Rashi rejected. B'tfilah pshita, underline the word pshita, in the title of Tosfos you see that Tosfos did have that girsa. Kiven d'ksiv erev avoike v'tzaroim osicha v'ohema, k'mitzos asei shazman gromava, k'mash malom d'rachami ninhu. Now, the Rashi loy goris lei, says Tosfos, I'm fully aware that Rashi did not like the girsa of pshita. Why not? Because it is not a mitzvah d'oraisa, shaharei tefillah d'rabbonon hi. Because tefillah is only a drabbonon. And if tefillah is only a drabbonon, so therefore, how can you say it's a mitzvah asei? Sheinaz man gromah, it's not a mitzvah asei at all. Umay mitzvah asei, underline. How can you say mitzvah asei? Umay mitzvah asei shaychi be. How's that relevant? How can you discuss rules that pertain to mitzvah asei shaz man gromah when you're only dealing with drabonos? And that's why Rashi rejected this girsa. Says Tosfos, I can explain it. Umikol mokoim yesh liyashev. I can be meyashev. I can resolve this girsa. Deho halel drabonon. Because the mitzvah of halel is only a mitzvah the Rabbonon, and guess what? The Noshim Peturois Mehai Taima. Women are exempt from Halel. Halel is clearly only a mitzvah the Rabbonon, and they are exempt for this very reason, the mitzvah Sasei Shazman Geromahu. And I'll prove to you, says Tosfos, who says women are exempt from Halel? Says Tosfos, I'll prove it to you. Kedomrinon Besuke. It says, "Mi shavoya eved veisha oikotan." If somebody had a slave, or a woman, or a minor, makrin oisoi, reading halal for them. If you remember, those who were with us for sukkah, we learned the whole discussion of shemeya koina. What does that mean, shemeya koina? We all rely on this every single week. When we make kiddush on Friday night, as we well know, we say the Kiddush. Anybody listening, it's as if they have said it as well. So if, for example, I cannot say Hallel on Yom Tov, somebody's feeling unwell, so if he listens to somebody else saying it, then he will be Yotze. And what happens if you listen to a woman saying Hallel? Says the Mishnah, Oine Achareihen, you must respond after them, ma shehein oimrim, everything that they are saying. It is not good enough to listen to a woman saying halal. If you hear it from her, you have to repeat word for word. Why? The ein hashoimeya potur mikriosom. Because the listener will not be exempt from reciting halal, kiven shehein paturim. Because women are themselves potter. This is the number one rule of Shemea Ka'ina. You can only be Yotze by listening to somebody else if that somebody else is himself Mechuyav in Kiddush. So therefore, if I'm too tired or feeling unwell and I don't want to make Kiddush on Friday night, I cannot ask a 5-year-old boy to make Kiddush for me, or even a 10-year-old boy for that matter, because he's not Mechuyav. You can only apply the principle of Shemea Koina when I listen to somebody who himself or herself is obligated. So what does it say with regard to Halel? That if an Eved recites Halel for you, or an Isha recites Halel for you, or a Katan, you've got to repeat after them word for word. Says Tosas, so what do I see from there? That a woman is not considered obligated in halal. And that's why it doesn't help to listen to her halal. At best, I can listen to her, but I've got to repeat every word myself. So if indeed women are exempt from halal, as you clearly see from that Gemara in Sukkah, let's not forget that halal is only a mitzvah derabbanon. And nonetheless, women are exempt. So 1 and 1 is 2. If it says that women are exempt from halal, number one, and I know that halal is only a drabbanon, number two, so 1 and 1 is 2. So therefore, I arrive at the inescapable conclusion that even mitzvahs derabbanon are also subject to the rule of misasesha asman grama, even though they're not really mitzvahs asay, but we can perhaps reword the rule mitzvahs derabbanon shazman grama. Therefore, says Tosas, I disagree with Rashi. Even if tefillah is derabbanon, it would still be subject to the rule of zman grama. And therefore the Gemara is perfectly entitled to ask that one word question, pshita. It's obvious that women are chayiv in tefillah because it is not zman grama. It's something you've got to be involved with the whole time. That makes perfect sense. What are you going to say? Who cares whether it's zman grama or not? It's only derabbanon anyway. So Tosas, I've just proved to you from halal that even mitzvah derabbanon is also subject to the rule of zman grama. Either way, it would turn out from this Gemara.
But even though it's a rachamim tefillah, it's still zman grama. It still has a kesher to zman.
Okay, so you're asking a very good question. There's a very, very big discussion exactly what the Gemara's answer is. Is the Gemara's answer, Rav Nachum, as you rightly point out, Rav Nachum's asking a terrific question. Very nice that tefillah is rachami, but at the end of the day, it's man groma. Boiker erev etzarayim, shachris mincha mariv. So there are two ways of understanding the Gemara's answer. One way of understanding the Gemara's answer is, you're quite right, it is zman groma, but they are nonetheless chayev because the concept of rachami is so important that it must apply to everybody. Similar to what we discussed before, the Gemara had a tzad that malchus shamayim applies to everybody. Is that the Gemara's answer? That might be the Gemara's answer. And according to that, Rav Nachum, your question is answered. You're quite right. It is zman groma. Nobody said it isn't. Erev v'voiker v'tzoharayim. Shachris mincha mariv. You're quite right. It really is mitzvah seisha zman groma. Nonetheless, women are chayev because rachami overrides the rule of zman groma. It's so important to have rachamim from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we cannot survive without. Which means that the Gemara's answer is, yes, it's zman groma, they are nonetheless chayev. There is a completely different way of understanding the Gemara's teretz. This is very, very important, hashkafically, especially those of you who are with us when we are in our Tfilavad series. It might be that the Gemara's answer is, you might have thought that tefillah is zman groma. Why? Erev v'voiker v'tzoharayim. The answer is, once you understand that the concept of tefillah is all about rachamim, then you really appreciate that it's not zman groma. Yes, there may be 3 times a day when you have to be involved with the standard text as laid down for us by the Anshei Knesset HaGedola, but essentially tefillah is something that you should be involved with the whole time. So therefore, it's two opposite readings of the Gemara. One reading of the Gemara is that rachami means, even though it is zman groma, they are nonetheless obligated. And the other way of reading is, if it's rachami, then there's really no time period which is off limits for davening, because you're supposed to be involved in davening the whole time. If you remember, those who are with us for our Tfilah Vad series, we spoke a lot about this, about Charbi u'Bakashti, the sword and the bow. Remember the Moshel of the sword and the bow. The sword is the Shmoneh Esra. The bow is when I put my own koyach. A bow is a non-dangerous implement. A sword is dangerous. A bow is non-dangerous, but if you put koyach into it, then it can become very dangerous. And not only can it become dangerous, to a certain respect, a bow is actually more potent than a sword. Why? Because a sword, its influence of damage is only as long as the sword is. If the sword is 1 meter long, then anybody who's within 1 meter circumference of me is in danger. But if you're 2 meters away from me, you're fine. Whereas a bow, I can shoot a bow 100 yards. Has far-reaching effect. And that's the koyach of tefillah, where I put in my own effort. I want to tell you a very beautiful thing. Just this Friday night, we were talking to the kids, I was talking to our children around the table about this very concept of talking to Hashem, of how important it is the whole time to talk to Hashem. You can talk to Hashem whilst you're in bed, and whilst you're in the makolet, and whilst you're in the street, and whilst you're in school, and wherever you are, there's nothing which is too big or too small or too silly that you can't talk to Hashem about. And I said to the kids, yes, you know, even if you're standing in the street, you're on the way to school, just talk to Hashem. You don't have to yell it, you can say it quietly, but just enunciate the words. Please, Hashem, grant me a successful day in school. I'm about to go shopping. Please, Hashem, make sure my shopping excursion is successful. So one of my daughters, my 12-year-old Honey, suddenly pipes up. She said, yeah. She said, it's easier now than it ever was, because we're anyway all wearing masks, so it's not even embarrassing. In the past, maybe you think it's a little bit embarrassing, well, to walk in the street, start talking to yourself, people are gonna think you're crazy. She said, it's never been so easy. We're all wearing masks, so nobody can see if we're talking to Hashem or not, so we can talk to our highest delight. I think it's the most beautiful observation. I think she said one of her teachers pointed it out. So this is something that always needs chizuk. Tefillah is rachamim. There's no such thing as zman groma, office hours for tefillah only. Tefillah is something we can be involved 24/7, wherever we are, in every situation, even in the street. And if you're embarrassed to put your mask on, you should be wearing a mask anyway. And that way you can talk to Hashem. And that is possibly one reading of the Gemara, that therefore tefillah is actually considered to be not zman groma. I, the absolute chiyuv, shachris mincha ma'ariv, it's true, but essentially it's something that we're involved with the whole time. As opposed to other mitzvahs. If somebody wants to shake lulav in the middle of the night, that's very nice. He's not doing any mitzvah whatsoever. That really is governed by time. Whereas tefillah, there is no time of day whatsoever which is off limits. Okay, we'll hold it over here, and Be'ezus Hashem, we'll continue tomorrow. Have a wonderful day, everybody.